Under the Scope.
Hey everybody, Jared and Shane here with another Scope Summer movie review. This time around, we caught a special sneak preview screening of a little indie film called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, Jared.
Boy, we sure had to fight the crowd to get in.
Oh my goodness.
This is about the sixth screening in our area. We finally made it to one, and it was not a full house.
Not even close.
No. Well, we were walking up and almost didn't know that there was a line. We were about 10th in line, and there was only about 30 more people behind us.
Very, very, very unusual, but we have extreme weather circumstances, as well as, I don't even know what a technical word for traffic circumstances would be, but...
A hot mess.
We'll go with a hot mess
of traffic in this town right now.
But needless to say, I was very excited to see this film. It's been talked about since Sundance. It's been... It was an award winner at the most recent Sundance for, what did they say, for audience?
They got the audience award and the judges award?
Yes.
Whatever. That sounds like a thing at Sundance.
It does, and it is. And I've been reading about it as well in the trades.
Ooh.
So I was excited to get a chance to see this film. And Jared, now we will turn it over to you. You can tell us who starred in it and what it is about.
Well, it stars me, Earl, and a dying girl. I'm never going to remember the kids, the young actors' names.
The girl's name is Olivia.
Okay.
The Earl's name is RJ, and I think me is
Thomas Mann.
Thomas Mann, I believe, is his name. He's an up-and-comer. He's going places.
So our three characters are me, who is Greg. Earl, who is Earl, and Rachel, who is the dying girl.
Yes.
In support, you've got Nick Offerman. You know him. You know Molly Shannon, Connie Britton, and recently cast as Daredevil in... Or not as Daredevil, as Punisher.
Connie Daredevil, Britton was cast as Daredevil?
In Daredevil Season 2, John Bernthal.
Yeah.
As the history teacher, Mr. McCarthy, or something like that.
Showing much more depth than he did as Shane in The Walking Dead.
Yes. That's good, because it's good.
Because
it gives us hope that he'll have range as the Punisher.
Yes.
So, Greg is entering his senior year. He's sort of cultivated he's got a process for not making any enemies at school. And his process is to kind of be friends with everyone, but also not be close with anyone. He's detached.
He sort of slips through the cracks of high school, if you will, without making waves. He's a quirky fellow. But he doesn't really want anyone to know this.
Exactly. So he's just trying to survive. He's just trying to get through senior year. He doesn't really have any college plans. Wonder what this cop thinks we're doing here.
Yeah. Didn't even look. I think he's on his phone.
He doesn't care. So he's just sort of a little aimless in life, but I guess he's happy because he has his friend Earl, who's not his friend, who's his coworker, according to him.
Yep.
And these two make... really, really bad rip-off films with punny titles.
Yeah. Sort of art house type films, if you will.
You know, art films, stop motion animation, all kinds of just crazy. Greg's dad is a sociology teacher and sort of cultivated this love of obscure foreign cinema in them. So that sort of informed their aesthetic. And then, through a circumstance that was a bit mysterious to me, maybe you picked up on the details, but Greg's mother, played by Connie Britton, sort of forces him to go befriend, or at least hang out with Rachel, this girl who has just been diagnosed with leukemia. Did you pick up on why?
I don't know. I think it was a means to an end for a plot point, perhaps.
Okay.
Maybe Greg's mother is friends with the dying girl. That they didn't really get in, or the dying girl's mother.
Yeah.
And so maybe there was something there. I don't really understand that. If I had to pick a questionable plot point, that would probably be the one thing that I would say. It was a means to kick the movie off, but there really was no justification.
I sort of chose to, question it for a minute or two and then just sort of move past it.
Yeah.
The rest of the film is sort of, I guess, their friendship sort of growing, but sort of...
Yeah,
it's sort of hard to tell which direction it's going until the very end. It sort of ends with a very big... I hesitate to say a reveal, but there's a scene at the end where you sort of kind of... Everything's been sort of building to this scene at the end where truth is sort of revealed to the audience.
Yeah. Which is a theme, by the way, of the movie in general.
Right.
It's revelations and getting past surface of what people are.
So initially, Rachel is not sure what his motivations are, is not really interested in having hang out. He's not either. He's just like, my mom forced me. But eventually they sort of, you know, become friends.
Yeah.
She learns of their films that they make and, is enthralled by them. Meanwhile, she's progressively getting worse in her disease. Chemotherapy's taking its toll on her, you know, so you've got the requisite, personality changes that she's going through dealing with the disease. And so, it's, I mean, that's basically the story.
And there's, there's his interactions with Earl as well, and how Earl sort of comes into the fold to be friends with Rachel as well.
Yeah.
And there's sort of these, other subplots that deal with, some of the vibes and the stuff that happens in high school. Not in a typical way, but high school is definitely a part of part of the story as well.
And where Greg is sort of good at deflecting and sort of crafting clever ways to not deal with people and just sort of keep them at arm's length, Earl is really good at cutting right to the heart of what matters and what doesn't. Anything that's irrelevant, he has no time for. Nothing is precious to him.
No.
So, yeah, you can see how what his role might be in the movie.
Yes. So there we go. That's the story without giving everything away.
Yes.
Let's talk about it for a second, because that's what we do. So this movie definitely works hard to create a tone or a world. I mean, you can, to me, you sort of draw parallels to, I mean, not in terms of what it does, but sort of the vibe it gets to like Napoleon Dynamite or a Wes Anderson film.
It has an aesthetic to it.
Yes, that is interesting because there's a lot of what happens in this world that is played real and straight, but then there's a lot of other things that people don't do in real life, or, you know, if they do, I've never met those type of people. There's a,
like, such as?
I mean, just the crazy artisticness of Earl. And and the main character, what's his name, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
People just aren't quite that way, you know. I mean, there's an artistic preciousness. Like Greg's parents are really sort of bizarre.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the characters are pushed in that direction. Like, they're sort of extremes of those character types.
Yeah.
There's a lot of characters in the high school that are similar that way.
Yeah.
Some of them might just be there because it's a shorthand.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the goth kid, and you've got the jocks kids, and you've got the weird outcast kid who improvises raps.
Yeah. You've got the teacher who is the
cool teacher. He's there. He's definitely going to have some insights to give you at a crucial moment in the story.
Sure.
I'm not 100% sure if some of that is tropes at play or if some of that's being really clever. I'm still on the fence on that.
Yeah, there's a level of preciousness in this film.
Yeah.
You know, like, how precious are these things? How hipsterish are these things, you know? And you sort of have to decide, are you going to go with it or are you going to let it bother you? And for me, the first, you know, probably 20 minutes of this or so, I was definitely not sure where it was going to take me and if I was going to be sucked in or if that was going to be a barrier to entry, but I kind of got over it. I felt like the performances were really, really strong. In all this weirdness that's happening, the filmmaker was not, I can't even remember filmmaker's name at this point, but
the one that I've heard of,
was not afraid to let the film breathe and be and feel natural.
There were a lot of
times when it needed to be.
Right. There were several times where there was static long takes.
Yeah. A lot of interesting camera work.
Long pauses. The cinematography was interesting.
Like, stationary and then popping at 90-degree angles or stuff like that.
Kind of following people's perspective. Yep. Like, when someone would lie down on a bed, the camera would rotate simulate their view. I think it's interesting in and of itself, but also, it's also interesting when your main protagonist is a filmmaker.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, you know, adds a little layer. I was particularly taken by some of the early scenes with Greg and Rachel where they were using wide-angle lenses a lot to really push the distance between them to, like, show these two people are in the same room, but they could not be further apart.
Sure.
I thought that was really, really
sort of testing each other. Like, yeah. What are you doing here? Can you be trusted?
Yep.
Sort of thing.
And then as the film goes along, you start, the focal distances start getting longer, compressing the backgrounds, bringing our characters closer together to the point where some of our last shots, they're in two shots, just their heads close together.
Yep.
So I thought that was an interesting cinematic touch.
Yes. So, beyond that, Jared, I talked a little bit about the acting. Mm-hmm. We're, as child actors, I don't even know if they are child actors, but the three main characters, how do you feel they did? I mean, were they believable as 17, 18-year-old kids?
I think so.
Yeah.
I didn't have too much issue with it. I mean, these aren't showy performances. They're not asked to do a lot of, like,
yeah,
super emotional stuff or anything like that. And actually, I found that interesting because it felt more realistic to how you know, teenagers, seniors in high school would be. Sometimes, you know, films like this can get really, really melodramatic.
Yeah.
Intentionally or not. And this definitely didn't get there.
And this also, it calls itself out on it through the narration by Greg. You know, like, if this were a typical moment that you might see in film, then this sort of thing might happen. And then, of course, it does not happen because he tells you it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated that. But my favorite parts of the film by far were the quiet moments.
Yes.
And how these people could interact with each other without saying a word. And you don't get, I mean, you don't see that in summer movies very often at all, let alone with a lot of movies that we see throughout the year. So I felt that was a breath of fresh air and impressive in a lot of ways. So
if this film is lacking anything, and I think you might agree with me on this, we talked about the sort of his mother forcing him to go be friends with this girl as sort of, you just have to accept that this is going to push the plot forward. I felt like there were some other maybe plot threads that were sort of introduced and maybe not followed through with completely.
Can you give any without ruining the movie?
I just felt like they sort of set up a conflict in the high school with a couple of people that one sort of resolved itself, but another one didn't at all. It also felt like maybe at one point it was sort of forgotten that that character had a beef with Greg because he was sort of appearing on camera, ostensibly interviewed by them without seemingly caring that he was angry with them.
But maybe that's just, you know,
I know,
kids say things in the heat of the moment. I think some of that stuff was a means to an end. I didn't feel like a lot of those sub-characters, those B-level characters in the film, especially in the high school, were all that important.
No.
And, you know, I think that they were there to add color and help you understand what Greg was going through high school.
Sure.
And whatever happened.
I just felt like they maybe did more than they had to introduce some plot threads or characteristics that didn't end up paying off in
any
way.
They probably could have cut it out.
Yeah.
But it was there, and so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But so let's stop talking about the film itself, and let's start giving a score.
The Scope score is 3 1/4 stars.
3 1/4.
3 1/4.
3 1/4. So,
It's a good film.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I enjoyed the film, but it didn't, like, give me an emotional punch like some of the other ones of, like, this we've seen, like,
The Fault in Our Stars. Like a baby.
That hit me pretty hard. What was the other one with Chalene and Miles Teller?
That would be that. The Hunger Games ripoff.
No,
Divergent.
Not
you
that
were really crying like a baby.
Not that one. The one they were in before at. It was a couple years.
Yeah, we saw that. I can't remember it. But,
yeah.
Or Perks of Being a Wallflower or something like that.
So it didn't quite hit me like those films did. But
this movie, to be fair, is closer to an artsy film, if you would, compared to those others. I feel like any of those other three movies were fairly straightforward.
Yep.
Not taking anything away from them, but I feel like this movie was trying to do something different. And I appreciated that. I'm sure you did as well. But, you know, a couple little issues here and there. The main premise of the story still a little confusing to us. And I'll probably go and research it and try to find out why they were forced to be together.
Sure. I mean, it's based off a novel. You could read the book.
Yep.
If you really wanted to.
Maybe just a pushy mom.
Could be.
Speaking of pushy, I'm going to have Jared be pushy and tell you how you all out there can interact with us here.
Ooh, yeah.
How about a good segue? Now you're doing Macho Man. That's my job.
Go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe right down below. All those buttons are there to do what you need to do. And if you're listening to us, then you've already done that.
Yeah.
So good job.
We appreciate that. So we got more movies coming up. I say that every time. Jurassic World will be here soon.
Not early, but soon.
And Inside Out's coming as well. And we've got, I'm sure, many other sneak previews planned for the rest of the summer. So for Jared, I am a Shane. I am a Shane.
I am a Shane.
This is a podcast called The Scope. And also a vidcast. Anyway.
Wrap it up.
Bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.